The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov. Well, there's good news and there's bad news today.
Uh-huh.
The good news is for parents across Israel, schools will open.
Yeah,
today.
That is good news.
We have finally reached an agreement. In fact, what couldn't be agreed in the space of I don't know how many months was suddenly magically agreed yesterday morning. And schools will reopen today for the 1st of September for the new academic year. And there's almost a full month of school until Rosh Hashanah towards the end of the month. So really good news for Israeli schools and Israeli parents in particular. But as I indicated before, I think that this really just plasters over a festering wound in Israel's education system. Unfortunately, it doesn't heal the problem of lack of respect in this classroom from children and from parents. It doesn't heal the wound of the problem of academic curriculum, which really needs a major overhaul. It doesn't heal the problem of lack of teachers. So we have got a festering wound here in the education system, which needs a major, major overhaul. So, but good news at least that schools will be back today, including 2,600 children who have come to Israel from the Ukrainian war situation.
2,600. Wow.
2,600 children, most of them from Ukraine, some of them from Russia, some of them from Belarus, will be joining Israel's schooling system. And that doesn't consider another 300 children who are refugees here and whose children will join the schooling system until such time as the situation resolves itself and they could potentially go back to Ukraine. But really almost 3,000 children in total who will join school today in Israel for the first time coming from the war zone in Ukraine. Very, very fascinating.
It really
statistic.
Is. And does this, can the schooling system cope with it? That's a lot of kids.
Well, the schooling system is struggling to cope with everything, even without those kids. So I think it's just a matter of another squeeze and another push, another shove. A lot of these children don't even speak English. I saw an interview by one mother who had to have a translator talk to her in Hebrew to say her child can count to 10 in Hebrew and can say yes and no in Hebrew. And that's really about it.
Sure.
It's going to be a massive challenge for those children. A very, very sad piece of news came from yesterday. The IDF training ground where an IDF soldier was unfortunately killed during a training exercise in the north. He was 19-year-old Eitan Pichman. He was a corporal who has posthumously been promoted to sergeant. He was somebody who was working with in the tank in one of probably the most dangerous jobs in the armored corps in the tank unit. He worked as a loader in the tanks, and people who work as loaders talk about the so-called triangle of death that's inside that tank, which is terribly dangerous because the turret in the tank is a moving item, a moving object, which can potentially do major damage to the loaders who work in that job. They are required to wear protective clothing and helmets in order to make sure that they protect themselves. In the case of Eitan Pichman, it's not exactly clear what happened because he was found with his head caught between the turret and another part of the tank, which is a really, really strange thing to happen. But his head was caught between the turret and the hull of the tank. And in order to get there, he'd have to be lying down and caught in that position. So there is speculation that he might have collapsed or fainted or something might have happened to him, which caused him to lie down and then for his head to get caught in that strange position. There is an investigative committee that has been put together in order to investigate exactly what happened with him. But obviously our condolences to his family. And even when soldiers get killed in training exercise, it's a massive loss. To us, to our country, it's equivalent of a soldier who is lost in battle, no less of a loss to the army And of course, to the family involved.
Absolutely right. Prime Minister Yair Lapid spoke last night for 45 minutes to US President Joe Biden. That's quite impressive. What was the subject of the conversation?
I'm not quite sure what was impressive, whether he managed to find 45 minutes of his time or whether Joe Biden managed to conduct a cohesive conversation for 45 minutes.
I'm not saying a word. I just said it's impressive.
I knew what you were thinking, Howard. I knew. Yeah. So this is really all about the Iran nuclear deal once again. And we're getting impressions, we're getting messages both from the European Union representatives as well as from the White House spokesman, who are all saying that a deal is imminent with Iran. And apparently Prime Minister Yair Lapid has been trying to speak to Joe Biden, the US president, for already a week or two. We understand that President Biden has been on a family vacation and has therefore not been available to talk to Yair Lapid, and certainly not for 45 minutes. But yesterday the call took place, and we understand that, you know, the way that the readouts are issued after these calls make it sound almost like the call wasn't necessary. There's so much agreement. Everybody is under such common understanding that one wonders almost why the call needs to take place. It could have just been a few WhatsApp messages. You know, we agree on.
Yeah,
that
we always say if it can be an email, it doesn't need to be a meeting.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously these calls, and especially one that lasts for 45 minutes, indicates that it wasn't all plain sailing. It wasn't all common agreement. And of course, we know that Israel is very much opposed to the signing of this nuclear agreement. We also know that the US seems to be absolutely determined to move forward to sign it. And so therefore, there is a basic common lack of agreement in everything that's going on here. And I think what was agreed, and therefore what was in the readout, because, you know, they tend to concentrate on the things that are agreed rather than the things that they were at loggerheads about. But what was agreed is that Israel is not a party to this agreement and therefore remains able to take whatever action is necessary, agreement or not. That seems to be one of the common agreements that were reached in the conversation. The other point is that a point of common agreement is that both Israel and the US have it in their interest to ensure that Iran does not progress towards enriching uranium to the levels that will allow it to build a nuclear weapon. Those, I think, are the two points of common agreement. Whether the US really does believe that Israel is free to do whatever it likes is also, I think, a bone of contention, because I think that the US would be quite concerned about Israel taking unilateral action against Iran. But this is really escalated to the point now where it seems an agreement is almost inevitable. Israel is, of course, very concerned. And just to summarize for people who are confused about why Israel has concerns, the main two reasons that Israel is concerned is, one, even though there will be supervision by the International Atomic Energy Agency, that Iran somehow manages to operate below the surface and does things which are contradictory to the agreement, which are not available for inspection by the International Atomic Energy Agency. But of course, because the International Atomic Energy Agency is there and doing inspections and adhering to the agreement and all the good things that come out, that the things that are below the surface really get lost. They're so hidden away that it almost looks like Iran is adhering to its agreements, when in fact it's not. And that's one of the things that Israel's concerned about. And of course, Israel's major concern is the fact that this will mean the lifting of sanctions on Iran and many Iranian organizations, which will bring sale of oil products and will bring massive amounts of money into Iran. And the concern is that Iran's going to use that money to fund terror activities, particularly against Israel, but not exclusively, also against other targets. So that's really the source of Israel's major concern, particularly the lifting of sanctions, because we already know that the work in the nuclear industry is going ahead at the moment without supervision. So, of course, that is a concern. But I think Israel's major concern about the agreement is the amount of money that will flow into Iran now and will enable it to fund terror activities around the world.
And that is a major and legitimate concern. Israel has been accused of carrying out attacks against Syrian targets last night. Which targets were attacked?
Again, yeah, I mean, this is just an ongoing story, but once again shows the extent to which Iran has influence and some level of control in Syria. And this time around, Israel has been accused of attacking Aleppo Airport, and then apparently an hour later, also attacking sites near to Damascus Airport. Now, all the time that attacks are being targeted towards airport facilities, it indicates a movement of some sort, because the things that are at the airport are things that have either just arrived or are either just going somewhere. Absolutely. That's why they're at the airport. Otherwise they wouldn't store weapons and hardware. Military hardware wouldn't normally be stored at the airport, and the reason why the airport is a target is because there's movement, and the movement is generally from Iran through Syria, potentially onto Lebanon, but certainly from Iran. And so that's why these airports are under such attack. And Israel hasn't attacked Aleppo Airport apparently since 2019. But Aleppo Airport was used as a main landing facility when the Damascus Airport was significantly damaged earlier this year, and apparently for a number of weeks was out of action. And so that's when Aleppo Airport then kicked into action and became a major point of transit for Iranian hardware, military hardware, and of course weapons. And now Israel decided to attack a facility at Aleppo Airport, and then shortly after that also a site at Damascus Airport, which has only just recently been refurbished after it was put out of action by Israel a few months ago. And of course, this attack comes only a week after that massive attack against the Syrian Scientific Studies and Research Center in Masyaf, which we resulted in a major fire and secondary explosions, which indicated a huge store. They say up to 1,000 missiles were being stored at that research center facility, which were destroyed by Israel. So once again, it just shows the extent to which Iran is active and moving weapons. And this is all without the sanctions being lifted. Imagine what will happen when the sanctions are lifted. And that's, of course, the concern.
Absolutely. And that's certainly something that I think is going to play out over the next couple of weeks. Defense Minister Benny Gantz yesterday signed a defense cooperation agreement with Japan. Interesting that the U.S. did so as well. So this is obviously the time that this is all coming together.
Well, it is. And, you know, the issue is that even though Israel hasn't really been considered to be, let's say, a strategic partner to Japan, the way that world politics is moving right now is bringing some interesting relationships together and forming some interesting friendships. What we see forming on the world stage is, of course, the whole Russia situation with the war in Ukraine and the friendships that Russia is forming, particularly with Iran, also with Turkey to some degree, and with China. And of course, China is using this opportunity to threaten Taiwan and creating instability in that particular region. And so therefore, we need to see this agreement with Japan against that whole backdrop, because Japan, I think, is feeling a little exposed and potentially a little intimidated by some of the Chinese actions. And so is looking for friendships. And Israel is amazingly become a friend of choice for many countries around the world who consider Israel's intelligence and military capability to be something which is desirable to them under the current circumstances, when the world's strategic defense and security situation is under the spotlight, particularly with actions by China in Taiwan and actions with by Russia around Europe. So all of a sudden, this is bringing some interesting friendships together. We've seen that, of course, with Israel and the Gulf countries, and now we're seeing it with Israel and Japan. Israel and Japan do already have areas in common, interests in common. They develop technology together, they share knowledge together, and now Israel and Japan have also signed a memorandum for defense cooperation, which will allow the two countries to widen their defense, strategic, and military exchanges. And I think that this is of great benefit to Japan, but also of significant benefit to Israel, because Israel then has a friend out in that part of the world and could potentially use that as a springboard to do other things that Israel has its interest to do. Of course, it's also getting friendship against the Iranian nuclear program, but potentially against other things as well. So I think that this is very much an interesting development, with Defense Minister Benny Gantz having visited Tokyo in order to sign this agreement and having met with his counterpart in Japan. I think this is all just one of those steps where Israel is forming friendships with countries around the world that you wouldn't have believed they would be forming strategic friendships with 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Absolutely, and that is incredible. Anthony Reich, this is where we leave it. You are on, are you going away next week? You're taking a holiday.
Would you believe it? I am taking a bit of a break next week, so I will not be with you next week. But I do look forward to returning back in a week's time on Monday, I apologize, and catching up with you as to what would have been happening
during
next
that
week.
Time.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, of course, there's no doubt that there will be a lot to talk about on my return.
No question about that. Anton Reich, thank you as always. Have a fantastic, well-deserved holiday, and we'll catch you the week after next. Have a Shabbat Shalom. It is 8:00. That's Anthony Reich with the Israel Report.